Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
I want to activate somebody's faith here today. Somebody that is the very lowest ebb of your life, and somebody else that is the very highest crest of your life, and you're about to receive something you've never received. I want to activate your faith today that you can experience what God wants you to experience, because it is a life-changing experience. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You may be seated. Faith is the conduit for all blessings. Faith is the motivation for all discipline. Faith is the currency for all acquisition, what you acquire, what you receive. Most preachers, almost all preachers, when they step to a pulpit, do so with a desire to help people. People that are condemning in the pulpit, their desire is well meant, even though it might not succeed. People that bring legalistic messages, their intent is pure. It might not work, because faith has to be translated in order for people to receive. Faith is the greatest change factor in all of creation. There's a reason why the Apostle Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Paul categorized faith in two arenas. He called it feigned faith and effective faith. Feigned faith is what? It's fake faith. Effective faith is genuine faith. Sometimes we do not properly discern what kind of faith we have. We think we have faith, but it might not be the genuine article. Most of Paul's instruction to legitimize faith was directed to young Timothy. He was shaping this young preacher's life, and so his main theme to him was unfeigned faith. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, he wrote to him, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. He writes again and says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. He would write to Philemon, and it is said that when he wrote to Philemon that Timothy was at his elbow, but he would write to him that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Faith that is not effectual is not faith at all. I don't think any of us can question the quality of Paul's faith, what he did. One legendary preacher that I think a lot of and has a daily telecast that I see regularly told me, sitting on his jet plane, he said, I've done more than the Apostle Paul. He was really speaking because of his ability to travel in his plane. I didn't say it to him, but I really wanted to say, have you written any Bibles lately? I don't think anybody living today can compare themselves to the Apostle Paul. So what is the underlying principle that establishes his faith as the paradigm of genuine faith? This is what we want. Listen to this. Behavior is produced by faith, but faith is not produced by behavior. So many people think that if they can do the right thing, if they can refrain from the wrong thing, that suddenly faith will manifest. But the truth is, behavior is produced by faith. Faith is not produced by behavior. Number one, Paul's faith was not based on his virtues or his accomplishments. If the Apostle Paul did not base his faith on what he had done for God and his ability to affect the world, how can any of us? I think pastors sometimes think that because they found a church and resurrect that church and build that church, that that is somehow a banner to their faith. People that have tremendous talent and are able to affect lots of people perhaps start putting their faith in their virtue, their talents, and their abilities. Paul would write in Philippians 3, 12 and 13, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The word apprehended here means in the Greek fully possessed or to fully succeed. Paul said, I have not possessed it fully, nor do I count myself a success. Paul is establishing the fact that his faith is not in his success or in his performance. If we're going to have unfeigned faith, genuine faith, we cannot talk to God about our performance, but we must talk to God about his performance. It's not because we're better than our neighbor, better than our cousin, better than this person that sits in the pew with us, better than the people that we see on social media. None of that has anything to do with our faith. It is because we understand the God that we serve. In fact, Paul would tell us about the thorn that was in his flesh. And he'd say, three times I asked God to remove that flesh, but it was never, ever removed. And he said, finally, I came to the conclusion that that thorn in my flesh was so I would not get proud and lifted up in the things that God used me to do. And that I would always keep in mind that whatever was happening in my life was not because of my flesh, but it was in spite of my flesh. I have traveled and seen lots of great ministries that have done great things. Two ministries come to mind. One of them was a local pastor in the state of Louisiana, one of the most godly men that I ever knew. And I'd heard about him a long time before I met him because God used him in great healings, great miracles, great manifestations. When I was there preaching for him, people were brought to him almost every week, almost every day that I was there. And he would do the same thing. He would not wait till the evening service. He would put a chair in the center aisle of his little church. It would seat about 300. He would put them in another chair in front of him. He would take them by the hand, and he would begin to minister to them. I've seen him cast out devils. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen blind eyes open from this very unique man. But I was so disappointed after I met him because of what I'd heard of him, because I thought he was going to be what I thought would be a powerful-looking individual. He was not at all. He was emaciated-looking. His skin was stretched tight across his bones. He was not handsome at all. He was not well-spoken. He was not well-educated. He was not great at preaching sermons. In fact, when I was with him, he would ask me, Brother Steve, do you mind if I borrow that sermon you preach? I'm going to preach it somewhere else. He was in desperate looking for a sermon all the time. I've shared this before. I preached a sermon in his church one night, and he said, now tomorrow night we can't have service because I got to go to Houston to Life Tabernacle, and I want you to drive me over there. I was just a young kid. About half the way over there, he said, do you mind if I preach that same sermon you preached last night? I said, no, I don't mind at all, Brother Barnes, if you want to do that. And so he got up and preached, and he just massacred that sermon. I had that sermon down pretty good, but he was just a total failure with that sermon. And then when he got done, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to surrender to God. I've never seen this happen before or since, but all over that building, people started receiving miracles in so much that they took eyeglasses off their faces and broke them in half and threw them in the floor. God healed their eyes. And I said, God, I did so much better on that sermon than he did, but he had so much better results. Folks, it is not our performance. It is our faith. And so no matter what you've accomplished in your life, you might have a great degree. You might have studied for years to have the degree, and you're grateful for that, and you should be. Or you might have acquired great money or a great position in your business. All of those things are good. But your faith cannot be in what you've apprehended. Your faith has to be in the God that gave you the intellect to get the degree. Your faith has to be in the God that gave you the strength to acquire your position and your job. I tell you that my God is looking for people that have faith. He's not looking for the most handsome person in the building. He's not looking for the wisest person in the building. He's not looking for the person that has acquired the greatest wealth. God is looking for somebody today that says, I believe that my God is able. But also, just as sure as we cannot put our faith in the flesh of our accomplishment, Paul's faith was not diminished by his own self-confessed fleshly weaknesses. I would not have known that Paul had weaknesses if he had not reiterated those and told us about them. He said so many things that were self-deprecating about his flesh. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he assessed himself like this: O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? This was a self-deprecating, autobiographical statement about Paul. And yet, just as the great accomplishments that he had done did not affect his faith, the weakness in his own body did not affect his faith. The number one thing that the devil wants to do against you is limit your faith. If he can cause you to get proud and lifted up in your fleshly accomplishments, that will diminish your faith. But also, if he can bring condemnation to you, that will also diminish your faith. And so Paul said, I know what I am. I know the weakness of my flesh, but that does not affect my faith, because it's not about my flesh. It's about the Spirit of the living God that dwells inside of me. And I can tell you right now that God wants you to have a great measure of faith. He wants you to have faith that will produce miracles in your life. But the devil wants to do the very best to condemn you so that when you get ready for a miracle, you will say, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that. God's not going to give me this miracle because I've got a track record of failure in my life. Can I help somebody today and tell you that the failure of your flesh does not limit your faith in God? In fact, it ought to do just the opposite and say, I know that in me is no good thing, but I know that my God is bigger than my flesh, and my faith in God is not altered by my accomplishments, nor is it diminished by my failure, because I know a few things about God. That's where Paul found his faith. Number three, Paul's faith was based on God's promised ability. He echoed Abraham's faith when he said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that my God is a good God. My God is a gracious God. My God is a powerful God. And my God is a God that is pregnant with promise to his people, and he is able to perform that which he has promised. But when we miss the boat is when we start putting our faith in our accomplishments, or we let our failures diminish our faith and say, God will not, because we're not good enough. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not looking for perfect people. God's looking for people with perfect faith that will say, I know that God is able. God is able to perform that which he's promised, and he will not withhold anything from me just because I failed in the flesh. Because God knows my trust is not in my flesh. God knows that I understand that my performance is not what brings the miracle, but it's my trust in God. That my God cannot fail. My God will not fail. That his love knows no dimension. His love is always manifest toward me. And he sees me as I see my child. My child might not be a perfect child, but he's my child, and I love him, and I will do my best for him. And God is saying the same thing to somebody in this building today that needs a miracle. The devil is trying to tell you don't need a miracle because you can do it for yourself. You have accomplishments and apprehensions that you have got that will bring your miracle to pass. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You need God more than you ever needed God right now. You need God to step in. You need God to interrupt. You need God to transcend everything in your life and suddenly work a miracle. And in order to do that, you've got to say, God, my strength is not sufficient. My ability is not able. But God, I'm depending on you. But just as sure as you say that, you've got to say also, God, my backsliding, my failure, my mistakes, my down sittings, God, will not limit you. Because God, you love me with an all-consuming love. And you said you will work in my behalf. And so, God, I believe in spite of me, you will heal my body. You will save my child. You will open the door. You will provide a way where there is no way. My faith says yea and amen to the promises of Almighty God. Paul embraced the truth of imputed righteousness when he said, therefore it was imputed for him for righteousness. What does that mean? That means that God works because of his righteousness, not because of our self-righteousness. God has worked for me. It has been my God that has healed me when the doctors gave me a bad report. I've never been perfect in my flesh, in my life, but God is still my healer. God has opened doors for me when they were nailed shut by the adversary. God has opened them and taken the nails out and cast them asunder, not because of my righteousness, but because Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and imputed his righteousness my behalf. And so when I come boldly to the throne of grace, I do just that. I come with audacity. I come with faith, saying he is touched with the feeling of my infirmity. He is touched with my need. And God is going to open the door. God is going to heal my body. God is going to bring me the money I need. God is going to provide the job that I need. God's going to put the right person in line for me. Why? Not because of my righteousness, but because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you accepted Christ Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean that you just finally said, well, I guess he is the Savior. It means that you accepted all of his attributes in your behalf. And I'm going to tell you, he's got a whole train full of benefits and attributes that David talked about. And so your faith has to be in Jesus Christ. You've got to say, the Lord is going to heal me, not because I write a tithing check every week, not because I never miss a Wednesday night. All that behavior is dictated by your faith, but it does not create your faith. Your faith creates your behavior. You say, not because I'm a tither, not because I'm a church attender, but my faith is in the Creator of the universe. He knows me by name. He might set very high, but he can get very low. And God is going to manifest himself in my situation. There's somebody in this building right now that needs a miracle in your life. And the only way that miracle is going to come is when you have ultimate faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the devil is trying to get you to be proud to where you can't trust him. And if he can't do that, he wants to condemn you and say you're not worthy. But either way is a dart of the devil. Above all, take the shield of faith and quench the darts of the devil and say, praise God, I know that my Lord is going to work because my faith is not in flesh. My faith is in the power of Almighty God. One of the most heartening texts of the entire Bible. I've used it for years to preach from. I've used it for myself in a regular fashion. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Here was a man that controlled the atmosphere, but he was a man just like you. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. When you look at it in the translation, it said Elijah was a man just like us. It was not Elijah's flesh that produced the rainstorm. It was Elijah's faith. And so do not try to count on your flesh. Count on your faith and say, I know the Lord is able to make a way where there is no way. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see any evidence, but this one thing I know that my God is a God of love. And I know that He has called me by name. And I know He has sent His Spirit to me. And I know that He knows me intimately so much that He knows the numbers of hair on my head. He gave me my personal DNA. He gave me my personal fingerprint. God stalks me every day. He follows me. He knows everything about me. And yet He has not cast me aside. And so if He has not cast me aside, I believe the Lord's going to make a way for me. I believe every weapon that's formed against me is going to come to naught. I believe that when sickness comes against me, God's going to heal me. I believe when I become despondent, God's going to encourage me. I believe when enemies come against me one way, they're going to leave seven. I believe the Lord is on my side. And you say, well, cite the reasons why. Oh, there are no reasons why in my flesh. The reasons are in the Word of God. That's the reason why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God will fight the bear. God will fight the lion. God will fight the Goliath in my behalf, because the Lord is on my side. I've got faith in God. I've got faith that God is, that God was, and that God will be. I've got faith that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've got faith that this God is not old and decrepit with diminishing power. He is the God that has always been, and if He created the universe, He can create a world for me that is one of joy and power and strength. I praise that God today. My faith is strong in Him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has brought me. Praise God, but I believe the best is yet to come. God's going to take me to new mountains. God's going to take me to new acquisition. God's going to take me through new doors. God's going to give me new victory. God's going to give me new miracles in 2020. My faith is in Him. I am as strong as I ever was. In fact, I'm stronger in my faith. Give me this mountain. And the number four point in closing, Paul based his faith not on his things of apprehension. Paul's faith was not diminished by his failure, but Paul's faith was based upon the strength of Almighty God and His promise. But number four, Paul based his faith on his inseparable relationship with God through Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when you came to Jesus Christ, the Bible said He gives you an enviable position. He puts you in the Father's hand, and no man, that means your father-in-law, that means your enemy at work, that means the boss that fired you, that means your ex-lover, nobody can pull you out of the Father's hand. Praise God, it is a position that God has affirmed to us. And we are inseparable, inseparable. Nothing can come between me and my God. Paul wrote about it. He said, I am persuaded. This is the reason my faith is intact, Brother Green. I am persuaded. Cast not away your confidence, he would write. Put your confidence not only in God, but put your confidence in God's ability. Put your confidence in God's love, and put your confidence in God's relationship with you. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a gossip that can interfere with your relationship with God. There's not a devil that can come between you and your God. There's not a jealous angel that can come in between you and your God. When you made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, you are now cemented to Him for all of eternity. And you say, praise God, my faith is not in my flesh, but my faith is in my relationship with Almighty God. God. He will fight every demon. He will reverse every circumstance. He will break every weapon. He will bring every curse to a blessing. My faith is in God. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. His love is beyond description. His power is beyond definition. What a mighty God we serve. And that God is in this building right now. And there's not a person that has a need that has got God stumped. God says, whatever your need is, I'm more than able. If you've got a pain in your body, you ought to rebuke that pain in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let the devil remind you of your past. Don't let the devil remind you of how many times you've failed or fallen. The devil is a liar. It's not based on your perfection. It's based on the power of Almighty God. God's love is for you. And God said, I'm here to save you. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to deliver. I'm here to bring you every promise that you need. And so that's the reason why I praise God. When you see me praising God, I'm praising God because my flesh does not affect God's love for me. How can I do anything but praise a God like that? How can I say anything but hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus, mighty God. You're all in all. You're my Savior. You're my provider. You're my protector. You're my baptizer. Lord, I know you're going to make a way. I know when I get up in the morning, your mercy's going to be fresh. I know when I climb out of bed, you're standing at the foot of the bed. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What a mighty God we serve. We cannot write enough songs to do our press justice. We can't stand long enough or clap our hands loud enough. We can't shout to the top of our voice and say, that's adequate. There is nothing we can do that is adequate for what God has done for us. My faith is in Him. My God will not fail. If I make my bed in hell, He's there. No matter where I go, He tracks me down. He drags me back. He brings me from the pig pen. He brings me back to the Father's house. My faith is in Him. He's walking these aisles right now. He's somebody that's got to face a court case this year. God is saying to you, I'm going to be your counselor in the courtroom. Somebody that's got an illness, God said, I'm going to be your doctor in the hospital. Somebody that's broke, God said, I'm going to be your banker. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. Trust the Lord. He is able. He is more than able. And God is saying to you right now, on this Sunday morning, I've got a miracle for you right now. And you don't have to go back and straighten it up. See, I'll tell you what I want to do. I'm going to leave this service and I'm going to go home and I'm going to fix some things. And I'm going to make some phone calls. And I'm going to get that out. And I'm going to fix it. I'm going to spend the next 6 months getting my life aligned. And then I'm going to come back and get my miracle. Yes, if your faith is in your flesh, that's your pattern. But if your faith is in God, you're going to say, hey, I cast all my cares on you. I cast all my cares on you. Lord, this cancer in my body is not the judgment of God for the sins that I have committed. Because that's a feeble attack. If God was attacking, He could take my life just like that. Sickness is not the attack of God on you. It is the fiery dart of the devil. Above all, take the shield of faith that you may quench the fiery darts of the devil. Somebody in this building right now needs a miracle in your life. And there's a devil that whispers in your ear every day why you're not going to get that miracle. You're not worthy. You don't deserve it. You've got mistakes. You've got failures. He is a liar. I said, God is bigger than all your mistakes and all your failures. And He's saying, come just like you are. Let me save your soul. Let me deliver your spirit. Let me heal your body. Let me make your life an abundant life. That's what Jesus is saying today. He's in this room right now. And if you've got something that's making your life miserable, I would not pack it up and take it home with me. I would walk down to this altar. I would cast it on the Lord and say, God, heal my body. God, fix my family. God, touch my body. God, fix my finance. Whatever it is, God, I am able. Praise God. Praise God. Here come two great warriors. I love Brother Sister Klein. Sister Klein, you can see the bruise on her face. She's taken two falls, literally life-threatening falls. But here she is on a...